And
Good morning, good morning, Rabbi.
we're holding on Ayin Ches Amud Beis by the Mishnah, continuing on the topic of a Ritzeach. Mishnah says, Niskaven lahargas a behema, if a person intended to kill an animal, v'horagas ha'adam, and instead he killed a person who was near the animal. So in other words, exactly that. You had a person and an animal were standing next to each other. He intended to throw something or whatever and kill the animal, and instead he killed the person. The point is, now Rashi says that this is a case of asra safek. Even if they were to give him asra and say, you know, this thing that you're throwing, you might end up hitting the person. It's only it might end up hitting him, not that it will for sure. And such a thing is called asra safek, and you can't give him, and you can't give him misa on the basis of that. So therefore, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say that he's potter. Now that's the point of Rashi. There's a lot of discussion about that. The Yad Ramah points out that the Gemara has some questions about that. Tosfos later on discusses some details about that. Another explanation is the reason why it's not only because it's asra safek, but all I mean so so another reason another reason that's given is also because so another reason is basically because he's beshogeg. He didn't realize that he's gonna kill the person. Machronim talk about the Orochaner, and others talk about there may be a difference between two kinds of suffix, a suffix whether what he's going to do is something that's going to be chayiv misa or not, but he doesn't control it versus where he does. In this case, in other words, for example, when he throws something, we're going to talk about later on, for example, a crowd of people, some goyim, some Jews, he can't necessarily aim so precisely to one versus the other. Anyway, so in this case, again, he intended to kill an animal, and he killed, which would he would be potter from misa for obviously, and instead he killed a person. Similarly, he intended to kill a goy, and instead he killed a yid. Now, he's not allowed to kill a goy; it's not something very nice to do, and a person is over on lo sirtzach with it, but he's not chayiv misa for it. And instead, he killed a Jew, where he would be chayiv misa. So in all these cases, then we're saying then that so according to Rashi, it's asra safek, and according to the Yad Ramah, it's because it's shogeg. Similarly, the nefalim b'horegas ben kayama, he intended to kill a nefal, a baby who is non-viable. For example, a nefal literally means a stillbirth, but for example, in Shas, we often have that a baby is born premature, an eight-month baby, as it often talks about throughout Shas, is not, under normal circumstances, not going to be able to survive, so therefore now he killed that baby, v'horegas ben kayama, and instead, by mistake, he killed a regular viable baby. So the nafal is considered as though he's already dead, just like we talked yesterday about a trefa. It's a similar concept. So in all those cases, Potter, in all those cases, he's Potter, whether because of Asura Sufik or because of Shogig. Continues the Mishnah. Niskaven lahakosel mosnov. Here's another case. Now, we talked about before that when it comes to a person throws something or at somebody or bashes him with something or whatever, it has to be strong, based on us to evaluate the murder weapon and see whether, in fact, it was heavy enough or big enough or whatever to actually kill. So now what happens? Niskaven la koisel mosnev. Suppose, for example, that he took a rock, for example, and threw it to and intended to hit him on his hips. To kill a person by hitting him on the hips, you would need a much stronger blow. Now it was lahamisa al mosnav. It wasn't strong enough. If it hit him in the hips, it wouldn't be enough to kill him. Instead, the rock or whatever it is, instead fell on his heart, on his chest, and it was strong enough to kill him, landing on his chest. Umes, and then he died. Potter. So also the person who did it is potter, because even though there was hasra, again they gave him hasra, that rock might not land where you mean to. It's still only asra safek, And therefore, that doesn't work. Now, there is a machlokas in other places in Shas whether hasra safek is a valid hasra or not. So, in other words, that kind of thing. Again, we have they give a person hasra. They can't be sure at the time they give him hasra that the action that he's going to do is something that's going to make him chayiv misa or not. So again, you can have that. So Rashi's shitta throughout this Mishnah is that the reasons why he's potter in each case is because it's a sras safek. We didn't know at the time whether it's going to whether it's going to hit the animal or the person. And similarly over here, we didn't know whether it's going to land on his hips or on his chest. And then so that's if we say asra safek is not a valid asra. Then if we say asra safek is a valid asra, then we have other reasons why it would be potter. Is basically because he didn't intend to do something that would that he didn't intend. It's more like shogeg, like the Yad Rama says. Anyway, so therefore, so he's potter in this case because when he the what he intended to do to for it to land for it to hit him in the hips wasn't going to be strong enough to kill him. Similarly, niskaven la koisal liboy. What about the other way around? He intended to hit him on his chest. It was strong enough where if it would have landed on his chest, it would have taka killed him. Mosnav. Instead, it landed on his hips. It wasn't strong enough when it hit him in the hips. It wasn't strong enough to kill him. But nevertheless, a mess, but still he died unexpectedly. Again, it should usually take a much stronger blow to kill him if it hits him in the waist or the hips or whatever, but instead he or the person unexpectedly died from it. So also Potter, so here it's not because of a lack of intent. Here it's rather because Rashi explains you need both. It has to be that he intended to do a to give a blow that would be strong enough to kill, and it also has to be that it was objectively enough to kill. Here, where it landed on his hips, on his waist, whatever, and it wasn't a powerful enough blow that under normal circumstances it should kill him. And here it did kill him. Then we have to say it's a freak accident, and you can't be mechayiv him for that. You would have to say that it was something exactly that. It was something unexpected. So it has to be. So it has. In other words, again, Beis Din is going to evaluate given the size of this rock and given the distance from which it was thrown, etc. If it hits a person of this age and size and whatever in the hips, would it normally be expected to kill? And if Beis Din feel and if Beis Din finds that no, then we can't be mechayiv him just because this particular person died from it. So similarly, niskaven lahakas is a gadol. Similarly, the person intended to hit an adult. Is a gadol. It wasn't a powerful enough blow to kill that adult. Instead, it landed on a child. And it was a strong enough blow to kill a child. Umes, and he died. Then also Potter. For the same reason, because then he didn't intend to do something that would be that powerful. So therefore, in other words, basically, it's a sras safek. Even though it was strong enough to kill the child, and it did actually kill him, there was a sras safek at the time. Niskaven lahakas the cotton, and the other way around, he intended to hit the cotton. And it was powerful enough that under normal circumstances it would kill the cotton. And instead it landed on the gadol. And it wasn't powerful enough that under normal circumstances it would kill the gadol. Or mess, and he did actually die. Potter. Then also he's potter because then there wasn't intent. There was intent, but there it wasn't actually objectively something that should have been strong enough to kill him. Aval, but the Mishnah continues, Niskaven lahakas al mosnav, but the other way around, if he intended to hit him on his waist, and the blow was in fact strong enough to kill him if it hit him in the waist. Instead of landing on his waist, and there it would have been powerful enough, it landed on his heart. And there for sure it's strong enough to kill him, because if it's strong enough to kill him when it hits him in the waist, then how much more so when it hits him in the heart? Or mess. And then the person dies, chayev, then the one who threw the rock or did the whatever is chayev, because then you have both. It was a blow that was strong enough to kill, and he intended to. And then objectively, it's strong enough to kill, and he did intend to kill. So there's no asra safek, and there's no, and there, in fact, it was strong enough to actually accomplish that. And similarly, niskaven lahakas is a godol. If he intended to strike the adult, v'hoya bakir lahamas is a godol, and the blow would have been strong enough to kill him, v'ho chalala cotton, and instead it landed on the child or mess, and he died, then chayev. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, no, afilu niskaven laragazev, v'horagazev potter. Even if he intended to kill one person, and instead he killed another, then he's potter, as we're going to see in the Gemara, which part of the Mishnah Reb Shimon is referring to. So the Gemara asks Ahaya, which part of the Mishnah is Reb Shimon referring to with his last statement? E lema seifa. Are you going to say that Reb Shimon is referring to the seifa? So this last case over here, these last cases involving the godel and the cotton, where you have a case according to the Tanakhama where he intended to kill the godel and it's with a strong enough blow that would have in fact killed him, and instead it landed on the cotton and killed him. And Reb Shimon would say he's potter because he intended to kill Ploni and instead he killed, and he intended to kill Reuven and instead he killed Shimon. The problem with that is that may be true. Reb Shimon does hold he's potter in that case, but that's not what Reb Shimon's statement is referring to, because Reb Shimon potter mi boile. Then the Mishnah should just say Reb Shimon says he's potter. Why give this long expression? I feel in a scav and lara gazeh, but hara gazeh potter. It should just say short Reb Shimon potter. And for that matter, Rashi says, why the afilu? What's Reb Shimon adding with the word afilu? So, Ela Aresha. Rather, Reb Shimon is referring back to the Resha of the Mishnah. He does agree that he does in fact say that in the Sefer he would be potter on this grounds of that he meant to kill one person and instead he killed somebody else. But that's not what his statement is. We're not referring dafka to that. It's referring actually back to earlier in the Mishnah. Where the Mishnah had started by saying, "Iskaven largas abehema, vaharagas adam." He intended to kill an animal, and instead he killed a person. Lo'ovik kachavim vaharagas Yisrael. He intended to kill a goy, and instead he killed a yid. L'nefalim vaharagas ben kayama. He intended to kill a non-viable baby, and instead he killed a viable one. Potter. So the Mishnah had said that he's potter. Ha. Now the implication of that, the implication of that statement of the Tanakhama is niskaven laragas zeh vaharagas zeh, that if he actually did intend to kill one person for whom he would be chayav misa, and they gave him asra, and instead he killed somebody else, then he would in fact be chayav. Then chayev, because in other words, why is the Tanakhama saying he's potter? Is because, for example, they told him, look, there's an animal and a person over there. You might end up hitting the person and killing him. So even if he says I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, nevertheless, that's asra suffic and it wouldn't work. But in other words, if there were two Jews standing over there, and the Mishnah seems to be implying, if there were two Jews standing over there, and they told him don't throw that rock because you may hit one of those two Jews, and he says I'm going to do it anyway, and he does, then it comes out according to the Tanakhama he should be chayev. And there now comes Reb Shimon Omer afilu niskaven laragaseh v'horagaseh potter. So now we understand Reb Shimon's statement. Even if he intended to kill one person and instead killed the other, he would be potter, as the Gemara is going to explain soon why Reb Shimon holds that. So Reb Shimon is in fact arguing with various parts of the Mishnah, but his expression afilu niskaven laragaseh v'horagaseh is referring to the Resha. But he does it in the Sefer. He would disagree as well, but there it could have just said Reb Shimon poiter. So the Gemara continues. Pshita. Now it's obvious the following case. Well, as an introduction to the question. If Reuven and Shimon are standing over there, the Omar and the person who's about to hit them says, "I know the Reuven kamachavna, the Shimon lo kamachavna. I intend to hit Reuven. I do not intend to hit Shimon." And instead, by mistake, he hit Shimon, Hainu Plugtayu. Then that would be the exact machloikas of Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, where the Chachamim would say that he's chayev, because nevertheless, both Reuven and Shimon are Jews, are Bnei Bris, and fully viable and everything. But he wasn't miscaven to the other one that he killed. So then that would be the exact machloikas of Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. And Reb Shimon would say he's potter, the Chachamim would say he's chayev. What about Omar l'chad minayu mai? What about if he says, I'm going to hit one of them? I don't care which one, but I'm going to hit one of them and kill him. So now, what would be the din? Mai, what would be the din according to Reb Shimon? According to the Chachamim, for sure he's chayev. But according to Reb Shimon, would we say that it's still that would be considered miskaven loy, since he didn't explicitly say that I don't intend to hit the other one? Or would we say that's not considered miskaven? Whichever one it hit, he wanted. So therefore, you can say it's not. So maybe you could say therefore it's not considered miskaven. Basically, do we say, listen, was this because you said that I don't care which one I hit? So when it hits Reuven and kills him, or it hits Shimon, and if instead it kills Shimon, would we say that his machshava has been fulfilled, and therefore he's chayed me? So, or would we say that that is not really considered miskaven? Inami, another case, kisover Reuven v'nimsa Shimon. Another case would be, what if he thought the person over there was Reuven, and that he intends to kill him? And then it turns out, instead, after he killed him, it turns out that it was Shimon. He didn't mean to kill the goof that was in front of him, but on the other hand, he thought this goof was somebody else than it really is. So what would Reb Shimon say in such cases? By the way, even in these cases where according to Reb Shimon, he'd be potter for the halachas, like the Chachamim anyway, but even in the cases where he'd be potter, we're going to talk about later on, there are special things that we do to a Ritzeach, there's Koin Sinoi Silakippa, we'll talk about on Omid Beis, that Amman points out that Beis Din can beat him and do all kinds of other things to prevent people from doing this kind of thing. And ultimately, of course, Hashem will get him. Also, by the way, there can be the cases where he's potter, but nevertheless, he can't go to the Ore Miklot because it wasn't Shogig, and therefore he's always going to have to be watching his back because of the Goyal Adam, so there's that too. In any case, so what's the din according to Reb Shimon in such cases? So the answer is Toshma Ad Tanya Reb Shimon. When we learn in a Braisa, Reb Shimon says, "When is he chayav ad sheyomer leploni ani miskaven?" Only when he says, "I am intending to hit Ploni," and in fact, he does kill that Ploni. So therefore, so it has to be actually. So if he says I'm just going to kill one of them, then he didn't single out which one. And if he said I intend to kill Reuven, and then I see him over there, and I think that's Reuven, and then he actually kills him, and it turns out to be Shimon, it wasn't the one for who he's miskaven. So yes, in both of those cases, Reb Shimon would hold he's potter, and the Chachamim would hold that he's chayev. Okay, the Gemara says my time did Reb Shimon. Why does Reb Shimon say that? The answer is Omar Kra, because the pasuk says about a ritzeach, v'orav loy v'kom olav. He ambushes him and he stands up against him and kills him. The pasuk is describing you have one person hates another, v'orav loy, and he lies in wait for him, v'kom olav, and he stands up against him and he kills him. Rashi points out over there that this is an example of aver gereres aver. He started out with lo sisna sachicha b'lavecha, and he goes from bad to worse there. Anyway, but why does it need to mention that he lies in wait, that he ambushes him? Just so Reb Shimon learns Adchi Skaven Loy, the words V'orav Loy, implies that he's lying in wait for him, that he Davka wants to kill this person and not somebody else. All right, V'rabbonon, one of the Chachamim answer to that. What are they doing with those words V'orav Loy? The answer is Ami Dvei Rab Yanai. They said in the yeshiva of Rab Yanai, Prat Lazorik Evan Lagoy. In that case, then, according to the Chachamim, the Va'orav Loy is coming to exclude a case where he threw a rock into a crowd of people, a mixed crowd of Jews and Goyim, and he hit one of them. So then we're going to say that he's potter because we don't know in advance which one he's going to hit. But when you have two Jews over there or a crowd of old Jews, then the Chachamim will say that he is chayev, and the so the Va'orav Loy, according to them, is teaching us this case. Well, the Gemara asks, "Hey, Chidomi, what is the scenario where we need the words of Orav Loi to teach us that to teach us that concept?" Are we talking about a case where you have a crowd of 10 people, of whom 9 are goyim and 1 is a yid, and we're saying that if he hit the one yid, then he's potter from Misa? Why do we need a pasuk for that? Typically, we have another reason that he's potter anyway. The fact is they're mostly goyim, and we go according to the drive. So therefore, so... And so 9 out of 10 times he would have hit. 9 out of 10 times he would have hit. He would have hit a goy. So therefore, so he would be potter on those grounds anyway. Inami palgo palga. Or you can say maybe the case is talking about where it's a crowd of half Jews and half goyim. Still, because it's half. Still, you have it is possible for him to have said I was intending to hit one of the goyim. So therefore, it's a case of suffik nefashas lahakol. So therefore, again, we should have reason to potter him. So here's where Tosfos points out that here the Gemara we have to understand again, given that as we said before, there's a machlokas elsewhere in Shas whether hasra suffik shma hasra, when a person is doing something that may result in a chiyuv misa or malkus, or it may not, is that sort of thing considered a valid hasra or not? So if we say that such a thing is not a hasra, then why does the Gemara even need to bring then the Gemara doesn't need to bring the idea of suffix nefashis lahakol. Anyway, it's hasra suffix. And if we say hasra suffix is a valid hasra, then how could we pater him over here when it turns out that he killed a yid? So Tosfos answer is that Tosfos explains that in other cases of Asra Safek, you know for sure that what he's going to do is going to result in an actual Isser. A case of Asra Safek, for example, that talks about in Makkos is, let's say, if they give Masra, you have a korban in front of you. The deadline is approaching. Don't leave over from it beyond the deadline. Don't be over on Lois Isiru. At the time they give him the Hasra, they can't know whether he's going to do it or not. In that case then, so you know that if he does leave it over, there is going to be a Vada Isru. And other examples like that over here, you don't know that he's going to come to a Vaday Isser because you don't know, he doesn't know in advance which one he's going to hit. So that's a coin. That's a coin to Tosfos. And then you have, then you have other points as well. So again, according to Tosfos, all Gemara is basically following the opinion that Asra Suffolk is a valid Asra. Nevertheless, in this case, he'd be potter because it's a different kind of Suffolk. Then there were other answers. Then there were other answers. The Shitim Kubetzis brings an answer. Brings an answer that the Gemara is not asking that if it's half and half, half Jews, half Goyim, he should be potter. The question is that it should be a valid hasra. So why would the Chachamim say that? The question is basically it should be a valid hasra, given that he knows that half of them are Jews and there's a good chance he might hit one of them. And then the Yad Ramah gives a different answer. At the moment that it hits one of them, you can't tell right away whether it was a Jew or a Goy who was killed. Afterwards, once the crowd scatters, then you'll be able to tell. But right now, you can't, and therefore that should be considered. Therefore, that should be could. Therefore, you should be potter on those grounds. Anyway, but the point is, so again, you don't need a posit to tell us that he should be potter in that case. So the answer is Lloyd Swicha. The case where we need the posuk the ikatisha yisrov kusiyacha benayin. The other way around, you have a crowd of 10 people where 9 of them are Jews and 1 of them is a goy. Now we should go according to the roiv, and therefore we should say that you should be chayev. But Dehavale Kusi Kavua, the Goy is considered Kavua because they're all standing in their places, or they're all in the same, not necessarily standing, but they're all in the same basic area where they were before. And therefore, so that's considered, it's called Kavua, V'chok Kavua, K'mechtzal Mechtzadomi, and we have a concept in many places in Shas that when you have something Kavua, then it's considered like half and half. One example of it that comes up, the Gemara mentions in Ksubas, for example, based on a Mishnah, is you have, let's say, a famous case where you have 10 butcher shops in town, 9 kosher and 1 non-kosher, and somebody goes into one of the shops and buys some meat, and afterwards he's not sure which one he bought it from, then it's osur. 9 out of 10 times, the chances are it was kosher meat, but the store is kavua, and he went in there, and therefore it's considered kemechza al mechza, and therefore we consider it's a 50-50 chance that he bought from the 1 non-kosher store or from the 9 kosher ones, and therefore it's osur. As opposed to, it goes on to say that that if he were to find a piece of meat in the street of such a city, and we're talking about where the meat couldn't possibly have come from anywhere else, whatever the details in that, then we could say that it's kosher, because then it's not kavua anymore, because it's not in its original place. So in the same way over here, if they're all wandering around, then yes, we would go according to the drive. But because there's a crowd of people all standing over there, then we say that anything that's kavua is considered kemechz al mechz. And in fact, it's from this pasuk, from this va'orav loy, that we learn this whole concept that kavua applies in other cases. And we say that even though objectively 9 out of 10 it would be a yid, but because it's kavua, then therefore instead we consider the odds to be 50-50, and therefore that's what the pasuk is telling us, that in that case he is potter. Tosfos deals with how Reb Shimon would learn that point. One point is Tosfos says, because the Gemara is going to end up saying that there's a different way of learning Reb Shimon's din, so therefore he still can use the word va'or of life for this. The Ran learns actually that it would just, according to Reb Shimon, the concept of kavua would be dirabanan. So again, according to Reb Shimon, then. So Reb Shimon, because it says va'orav loy, holds that he has to be mechaven. So according to him, in this case, he might in fact be potter. So everybody is going to agree that in this case he's potter. Reb Shimon would say he's potter because anyway he wasn't mechaven for the particular person that he killed. The Chama saying he's potter because there you don't have va'orav loy, because there was a crowd over there, of which some of them, even if it's only one, that he would be potter from misa if it hits him, and therefore on the basis of the pasuk va'orav loy, we can't be mechayiv in misa, because whether we say asra suffik is not a valid asra, or whether we say even if it is a valid asra, but there are different kinds of suffik over here, etc. So the Gemara says, "Bishleimu l'rabbanon da'amin iskaven larak zevahorga sechayiv." Now, let's try to understand the following case. We have the case in Parshas Mishpatim, which we touched on before, where two people are fighting, and one of them hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry. So the pasuk describes two possibilities: one where he causes her to miscarry, but she herself survives. Then the pasuk says he has to pay dmei vlodas. He has to pay the husband, basically the change in value, how much she would have been worth, pregnant and not pregnant. That point that she was pregnant with those babies, the babies are basically considered an asset of the husband, which they damaged, and therefore they have to pay. And then you have the case. Then the pasuk continues: if there's osain, if the woman is killed, then rasata nefesh tachas nefesh, which on the face of it means that whoever hit her is going to be killed. So we have to understand how Reb Shimon is going to understand that case. So b'shleim l'rabbanan da'amin iskaven larak zeh v'horag zeh chayev. According to the Chachamim, who say that when a person intended to kill one person and instead killed the other, then he's chayev misa. So then dichtiv, then we understand. You have the pasuk that describes v'chiyinotzu anoshim. Two people are fighting. V'nog fu isha hara, and one of them hits a pregnant woman. And then, so you have the Dmei Vlodis, and then you have Dmei Vlodis, or you have that if they killed her, then they're Chayav Misa. Rabbi Lazar explains, we're talking about these two people are actually fighting to the death. Matzos is Meloshan, the Apostle, V'chiyinotzu Anoshim, same Shoresh. So the two people are actually fighting to where one of them is intending to kill the other. Dichtiv, and we know that, says Rabbi Lazar, because the pasuk continues, v'im osen yia, if there is a death, v'nasata nefesh, tachas nefesh, then you give a life instead of a life. So in other words, if the woman herself is killed by the person who hit her, then the one who hit her is going to be put to death. So obviously, therefore, it has to be. In other words, it has to be that they were intending to kill one another. Otherwise, the whole thing is shogeg, and you can't say nefesh tachas nefesh for it. So according to the Chachamim, we understand he intended to kill the other guy, Shimon. Instead, he kills this pregnant woman, and the pasuk is saying that he's chayiv misa. What is Reb Shimon going to do with that? He holds that if he intended to kill Shimon and instead he killed somebody else, then he's potter. So why in the pasuk should he be chayev? They never intended to hit this woman in the first place. The answer is that Reb Shimon doesn't understand the word v'nasata nefesh, tachas nefesh, to be referring to misa. The answer is mamon. He holds that it means mamon, the same way as the following psukim continue: ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, etc. And there it definitely means mamon, as Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma. The same way over here, nefesh tachas nefesh, he holds, also means mamon. In other words, they figure out how much she would have been worth, and that money is paid to her yorshim. V'chad Rebbe, meaning that Reb Shimon learns the pasuk the way that Rebbe does. D'tanya, Rebbe Omer v'nasatam nefesh tachas nefesh. What does this pasuk mean? Means mamon. It means that he pays money. Ata Omer mamon. Now you're saying that it means mamon. Oyena ela nefesh mamish. Maybe it means his actual life. Maybe it means that we kill him. No. Nemr says Rebbe. Nemr nesina lamata v'nemr nesina lamayla. Because you have two psukim back to back that mention that he gives. You have the case where he causes her to miscarry, but she herself survives, and the pasuk is v'nosan b'flilim, and then this next pasuk says v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh. So Rebbe holds malahalan moment afkan moment, just like when it comes to the v'nosan b'flilim means that he gives according to what the dayonim assess him for the dmei vlodis. The same way nefesh tachas nefesh means moment. So Reb Shimon learns the same way, and therefore Reb Shimon says, "You're right. He is potter from Misa precisely because it was the scavin lara gazeh v'hora gazeh." So the Gemara brings another opinion on the subject. Omar Rava, hi de Tana Dvei Chizkia, Makke Midirebi, Makke Midirabanan. What we learn from a Braisa of the Yeshiva of Chizkia disagrees with both Rebbe and the Chachamim. Both Rebbe, who says that he'd be like Reb Shimon, that he'd be potter from Misa, and he only has to pay money. And the Rabbanan, who said that he would be chayav misa, Tana Dvei Chizkia has a third explanation of the pasuk that disagrees with both of them. The Tana Dvei Chizkia, we learn in a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Chizkia. The pasuk says Make Adam or Make Behema. Elsewhere in the Torah, you have at the end of Parshas Emor, it describes the pasuk says Make Behema Yishalmena. A person who kills an animal will pay for it. Or Make Adam Yumos, and a person who kills a person is Chayav Misa. So the pasuk is comparing. The pasuk is showing that there's a certain comparison. There's a hekesh between killing an animal and killing a person. So we learn from that. Ma mak behema. Now, just like when it comes to killing an ant, to killing somebody else's animal, loy chilakta ben shogeg lemezid ben miskaven l'sheini miskaven. There's no distinction between whether it was shogeg or mezid that he damaged or killed the animal, or whether it was miskaven or ain't a miskaven. Whether he intended to kill one animal and instead killed the other, or whether he intended to begin with to kill this one. Also, there's no difference between derech yiridah or derech aliyah. There's no difference between whether it was going up or going down. Now, when it comes to a person, then you have that distinction. We're going to learn Masechta Makos in a couple of months, Be'ez Hashem, that when a person, for example, is going up a ladder, if he's going up the ladder and then slips off and falls on somebody who can kills him, then he'd be potter from going to the Ore Miklot. Because Derech Aliyah, as opposed to if it was Derech Yirida, if it was coming down the ladder and fell off. What?
Yirida would be if he breaks the step.
Derech Yirida would be, for example, he's going down. If he's going up and the step breaks, and also it's still considered Derech Aliyah. You have other examples like that. Another example the Mishnah gives is a person is raising a barrel. A person is using a pulley, let's say, to lift a barrel, and he drops it on somebody and kills him. Then b'shogeg, then he's a potter from the Ode Miklat, as opposed to if he was lowering the barrel. In each case that Amman points out, because when you're lowering something, when you're going down or you're lowering something, whatever, you have gravity to consider. And then therefore you have to be more careful so it doesn't go down too fast or whatever and hit the other guy. The Gemara actually learns it from Psukim over there in Masechta Makos. Rashi points out we don't really need to mention that in the case of an animal, because in the case of an animal, whether it's b'shogeg or b'mezid, he's not going into golos anyway. But we're mentioning that for completeness's sake. Anyway, in all those cases, so there's no difference between, again, there's no difference with an animal, shogeg mezid meskaven any meskaven derech aliyah and derech yirida lepoitre mamon. We never say that when he's killed, that when he killed an animal, he's potter from paying money. Ela lechayve mamon. Rather, the point is that then he's chayev to pay money. Af make odem, the same way, continues Tana Dvei Chizkiya. When it comes to a person who killed somebody else, loy tachlik ben shogeg lemezid, as far as momen, there's no difference. The fact that he's potter from paying, the fact that we say kom lebedidavimine, doesn't make a difference whether it was shogeg lemezid, ben miskaven l'sheinu miskaven, whether he intended to kill this person and instead killed somebody else, or ben derech yirida l'derech aliyah. There's no difference as far as that he's potter from money, whether it was derech yirida or derech aliyah. In all those cases, l'chayvei mamon, we never say that he's chayev money. Ela l'poitrei mamon, instead, it means that he's potter from money. So that he's potter from paying. So, in other words, Tana Dvei Chizkiya is saying that he's potter from money, but it also means, as the Gemara is going to point out, it means that he's potter from misa as well. The ibak tolahu, if he was going to be chayiv misa, my itzrich lemifter moment, then why would you need to say that he's potter from money? We would say kom lebedirabim in anyway. So according to Tana Dvei Chizkiya, it comes out that in these kinds of cases, he's not chayav misa, but he's also not chayav mamon. So now we have three opinions. We have the Chachamim who say that here niskaven lara gazeh v'hara gazeh, he's going to be chayav misa. So yeah, they would say he's potter from money because kom lebedirabim, but they would say he's chayav misa. Reb Shimon would say he was potter because he was miskaven for one, he wasn't miskaven for the one that he killed, but according to Reb Shimon, he might well be chayav to pay. And according to Tana Dvei Chizkiya, he's potter from both of them. So Tosfos deals with a number of points in this, and various points having to do with this whole concept.
Clarify the obvious question which bothers is when you're not miskaven to kill, but you did do it amazing enough to be mischayev
right
as amazing,
yeah,
but yet you're not going to be chayev misa because you're not miskaven to kill.
but
You're
why
not
should you be high
going to.
Why should he be potter from paying, you're
So,
wondering?
is that the only case what we're comparing Adam to Behema? Maki Behema
Yeah, that's what Tana Dvei
is
Chizkiya
that
is saying.
the
That's
difference?
what we're saying. That's
So
what
why does he say as in a general rule, as if
That's the
you
point.
would never be Chayav Misa?
No, that's the point. In other words, obviously a person is chayav misa for killing b'mezid, and he's not chayav misa for killing b'shogeg. What we mean is the fact that the pasuk compares it to makah behemah teaches us that just as in the case of makah behemah, he's always paying the same way. With makah adam, he's never paying. Tana Dvei Chizkiya is saying that from that we learn that he's never paying. So even though so that's Tosfos discusses there's a number of points that Tosfos makes in connection with this matter over here that for one thing Tana Dvei Chizkiya is talking about there are a number of possibilities as far as mamon over here. You can have the mammon that he's paying, for example, there can be mammon acher, there can be other a different payment that doesn't directly have to do with the missa, but in other words, some other damage that he caused while he was killing the person. So for example, you have an example that the Gemara brings elsewhere in Shas. For example, a person shot an arrow and killed somebody and then also ripped his clothing. Is he chayav for the clothing or not? So if it, so would tell us that he's potter. So then you have so Tana Dvei Yechizkiah saying that he'd be potter even if it was b'shogeg. And then you have various other cases. Miskaven or any miskaven would be again that he intended to kill one person and killed somebody else. And then there's mammon involved. And then as far as the derech yirida, derech aliyah would mean, in other words, the mammon would mean. Tosfos says that it means that we can't say that we would take a koifer from him and pater him from Golos in the one case. If it was Derech Yerida, he's going into Golos, and if it was Derech Aliyah, then he's not. So you have all that, and then also in addition, you also have other. There's several Tosfos over here. There's a Tosfos on Amud Aleph or Makka Midrabanan. There's a Tosfos Makka Odor Makka Behema, and there's the one Ben Shogeg Lemezid. The one that I was just mentioning is from Ben Shogeg Lemezid. But in the other two Tosfos in it, also discusses various other points about this.
What was the question that bothered
Tosfos? Well, what do we mean over here exactly? What do we mean by Ben Shogeg LeMezid? What exactly? What would be the distinction between Shogeg and Mezid as far as Derech Yerida and Derech Aliyah? All these details that Tonad Vechizki is mentioning, what's the case of Mammon with each one of them? But in addition, there's as follows. So, first of all, Tosfos points out that Rebbe and the Chachamim are disagreeing with Tonad Vechizkiya, are disagreeing as far as the Einim Eskavim. Because again, they hold V'nasata Nefesh, Tachas Nefesh, means that he's going to be Chayav Misa, so, and according to Reb Shimon, that he's going to have to pay, so therefore, according to one of them, they're disagreeing on that particular detail. Tosfos also discusses, now the Tosfos, on Omar Aleph, discusses, so according to Tonad Vechizkiya, so what do you mean? Why is he getting off completely scot-free? Not so much how would Tonad Vechizkiya understand the pasuk? You're saying that if the Vlodis were killed, then there's May Vlodis, Vim Osin Yev and Asatan Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. According to the Chachamim, it means you kill him. According to the Pshimin, it means he pays. According to Tonad Vechizkiya, these potter from both, how are they even understanding the pasuk? So Tosfos says, fine, maybe what Tonad Vechizkiya would learn the pasuk. Im Osin Yev doesn't mean if she's actually killed. If there's Din Osin, if there's a case of a Ritzeach, who's Chayav Misa, namely not the case in the pasuk where he's intending to kill the other person he's fighting with and then he hits her, but rather a case, Tonad Vechizkiya maybe would have to understand the pasuk that if he, Taka, intends to kill her, and he does in fact kill her, then it would mean V'nasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. But in fact, if he intended for one and killed the other, then they would say that he's potter completely. So you have, as I said, several different Tosfos over here that discuss various details within this. One thing is also as far as the Tosfos points out, actually, then and later on in the next parak we're going to learn that actually another redaction, another thing from this hekesh between Maka Odom and Maka Behema as well, we learn from that about the concept. We know that when a person hits his parents and causes them a wound, then he's Chayav Misa, and the Gemara is going to derive it from this hekesh as well with an animal. Maka Behema doesn't mean that he hit it, stand they slapped it on the side or something. It means that he actually wounded it, and therefore is chayev, and therefore is chayev a payment. So the same way with his parents, it has to be that he actually wounded them. But Tosfos says that actually, because you have more than one hekesh, so therefore we have different limudim that we can learn from different ones. But then Tosfos says that actually maybe we could learn both things from it. In any case, the point is that so we have three opinions over here. In short, we have the Chachamim who hold that Niskaven Larga Sevahorga says Chayev Misa. We have Reb Shimon who holds he's Chayev, he's Potter from Misa, but if there's payments involved, he's going to be paying payments. For example, the value of the Isha. And then you have Tonad Vechizkiya who learns that it's neither one, and he's Potter from both of them, and in all cases he's Potter from Mammon. Mishnah says, "Ritzeach shenis arav ba'achirim." Now that we've talked about in the last couple of Mishnayos about the various dinim when a ritzeach is chayev and potter, so now let's talk about the missus based din that he gets, and the cases where we can or can't do the regular missus based din for him. Ritzeach shenis arav ba'achirim. If a Ritzeach got mixed up with other people, and we're going to see in the Gemara who those other people are, Kulam Turin, then all of them are potter because we don't know which one is the Ritzeach. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Koinsin Oisin LaKippa, Rabbi Yehuda says we put them in the Kippa. Now we're going to learn in the next Mishnah that the Kippa is a narrow, confined cell where they feed him in such a way that eventually his stomach ruptures and explodes. So now Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you put them in the Kippa. Now, if these Acherim are just regular people who got mixed up with this person, then obviously we can't do that. And so the Gemara is going to give several explanation who these Acherim are in this case. The Rambam Bechlal writes that there are cases where we put them in jail. And in fact, the Orach HaNer says that the Rambam would learn that that's what it means. Kohen Sinai Sela Kippa means over here, in fact, just that it means that they put them in jail until we can figure out what the situation is. The Mishnah continues, Kol Chai, we talked about the other day, that there's really no concept of jail in the Torah, but we said there can be temporarily as like a holding cell until we figure out what to do with them, like we had by the Mekoshesh Eitzim. So here, according to the Rambam, this would be a similar kind of thing. Mishnah continues, Kol Chayv Misa Shenis Arvu Zeh B'Zeh, anytime that you have two people, a Chayv Misa, or two or more people, that are Chayv Misa, and they were mixed up together, and now we don't know which one was which, Nidonin Bakala, then we give them the more lenient punishment. Because one way or the other, we know they're Chayv Misa, but we can't give them the harsher of the two punishments, because we don't know, so therefore, So we can't be machmer on them, but what we can do, we can give them instead the lesser missa. Because after all, the lesser one is included in the greater one. So what does this mean? Haniskolin b'nisrafin. Suppose, for example, that some people who are chayev skila are mixed up among those who are chayev sreifa. Now, Rashi points out the expression haniskolin b'nisrafin suggests that we're talking about the roiv or nisrafin. Because whenever you say that A is mixed into B, the implication is that B is the roiv. So here, Niskolin and Nisrofin would mean that you have one or a couple of Niskolin that are mixed up with a larger number of Nisrofin. So what Misa do they get? Reb Shimon and Nidonin B'Skila. Reb Shimon says that you give them all that you give them all Skila Shas Sreifa Chamora, because Sreifa, according to him, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, is more severe. So you can't give. So even though we're talking about a majority who are supposed to get Sreifa, and we do often say with Dinei Nefashos we go according to Roiv, but here we can't do that. Here we can't do that, and therefore Reb Shimon says we have to give them all the lesser punishment, which according to him is skila, even though it's only one of them. Tosfos actually discusses, it brings up the question, the Tosfos is pointed later on Peyom and Beis, Pey Aleph Amud Aleph, that given that we do go according to Roiv, and we even Machmir and Din Nefashos according to the Roiv, Taka, why don't we give them Skila here according to Reb Shimon, or Srefa rather, according to Reb Shimon, given that the ones who are Srefa are the majority. So Tosfos discusses that. Tosfos gives the answer that you can't go according to the Roiv when you have a person who's not chayev this missa at all. Then you can't go according to the Roiv. Also, because the point of kavua that we said before the kol kavua kamechzal mechzadami. So here we have a group of people, and one of them is one missa, and the other is the other. Then we would say kol kavua kamechzal mechzadami. Now you do have. It is true that the Gemara does mention elsewhere in cases like this where you have a mixture that we can do. The Gemara calls it elsewhere nichbeshinu denaidi. Let's force them to move around and to scatter. And then it's not kavua anymore. So why don't we do that? The answer is, again, because we can't be machmir on them unnecessarily. Also, because then people might think that there's no issue of kavua at all, and we do have to uphold the principle of kavua, and therefore, for that reason, we would have to give all of them the lesser punishment, which, according to Reb Shimon, is skila. So the one answer is because it's kavua, and within that, why don't we say that we can make it no longer kavua is because first of all, you can't be machmer on them unnecessarily, and second of all, gzeira shemiyikach mina kavua, because people might think that you can override the principle of kavua altogether. Okay, so anyway, so in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon is saying, therefore, that you give them all skill. Shas Sreifa Chamura, because Sreifa, according to him, is more stringent. You give them Sreifa because Skila is more stringent. Now, anyway, according to the Chum, you'd be going according to the Roiv. For that reason alone, you'd be giving them, the Gemara is going to point out that for that reason alone, you should be giving them Skila. But nevertheless, the Chum are saying that even if it was a matter of, even if it wasn't a matter of Roiv, then nevertheless, you would still do that. Because Skila, according to them, is more severe, so therefore you have to go to the less severe one, which is Sreifa. Amalahen Reb Shimon, so Reb Shimon says to the Chachamim, how can you tell me that Skila is more severe than Sreifa? Ilu lo hoisa Sreifa Chamura, if Sreifa was not considered a harsher punishment, lo nitna l'vas koyin shezinsa, then it wouldn't be given to a bas koyin who's mezana, whereas we learned earlier in the Masechta, and daf nun nun aleph, you have a greater Chumra over there in that she also disgraces her father. So you see that Sreifa must be more serious. Omru lo, the Chum answer back, Ilu lo, hos Skila Chamura. And if Skila wasn't more severe, lo nitin lo megadda for the Oved Avodah Zarah, then it wouldn't have been given to somebody who curses Hashem or worships Avodah Zarah, which are direct insults against Hashem himself, pushed in Yodan Be'ikr, as the Gemara had phrased it earlier, as Rashi brings over here, and therefore Skila must be more Chamura. And daf nun nun aleph, we had a long sugya about it, where the Gemara analyzed their opinions in detail. One thing is, Reb Shimon holds that the case where the Bas Koyin Shezinsa is getting Sreifa can be an upgrade even from when she would have otherwise gotten Skila, namely if she's a Naira Amorosa, where ordinarily if she wasn't a Bas Koyin, she would get Skila, and still, according to him, the Torah is saying she gets Sreifa, shows therefore that Sreifa must be harsher than Skila. Okay.
You explain well why Megadeth and Ibid Kachavim is a direct insult on the Amishter.
Yeah.
But you didn't explain enough to me to understand it. I'm sorry. I felt short understanding why Koya when Bas Koyin Shezinsa.
Bas Koyin Shezinsa because she's also causing a disgrace to her father. So Vihim Chalalas. That's fine, but nevertheless, Reb Shimon says that the point the Gemara makes in that earlier sugya is, according to him, the Bas Koyin Shezinsa is even in the case where normally she would have gotten Skila. Keep in mind, in Eishes Ish, most of the time she gets Chenek. If she's a Naira Marosa, she gets Skila. Now, in which cases does it apply that she gets Sreifa? You have a Machlokas, you have a three-way Machlokas that we learned earlier in the Masechta and Daf Nun Nun Aleph about it. According to Reb Shimon, she gets Sreifa, even if she's a Naira Marosa, meaning according to him, that you're saying, therefore, that Sreifa must be stronger than Skila. Here you have. Ordinarily, she'd be getting Skila, but because in addition here, it's Aviyahim Echalalas, then she gets upgraded to Sreifa. Yeah. Okay, the Mishnah continues. So,
if I understand you correct, Skila is the default setting of a more Chumra de Kemisa. It's not between Chanek and Herig that we have the doubt. Why
no,
don't we have a doubt about our heretic?
Because with the Naira Marosa, one second. First of all, the Mishnah is going to go on to say that they have the same machlokas as far as Herig and Chenek as well. And the Gemara earlier on Daf Nun Nun Aleph discussed why Reb Shimon holds that Herig is more. Why Reb Shimon holds that Chenek? Okay, everybody agrees that Skila and Sreifa form a pair, and everybody agrees that Herig and Chenek form a pair. Within each pair, you have a machlokas which one is more chomer and which one is not. So now, because that's clearly how it is. That's because we see we see, for example, according to Reb Shimon, that you have in the case of a Bas Koyin, what would have been Skila instead becomes Sreifa, and you see that for example, as far as a Ben Noach, for example, as Machlokas earlier in the Masechta in the sugya of Sheva Mitzvah Ben Noach, whether the default punishment for them is Hereg or Chenek. We also had, for example, let's say the Gemara had mentioned there's Alach L'Moshe Mitzinai as far as the people who are buried after they're executed. You have two Bote Kvaris, one for the Niskolan and Nisra, and one for the Neharogan and Nechnokin. So there's no question they form two pairs like that. So within each pair, you have a machlokas which one is more severe and which one is less. So the Mishnah continues. Haneharogan and Nechnokin, by the same token, if you have people who are Chayiv Hereg and people who are Chayiv Chenek that got mixed together, So the same thing. Reb Shimon ever b'sayif for chamem b'chenek. Reb Shimon says they're all going to get sayif because according to him, sayif is the least severe punishment. So for the same reason, he would say you always have to go according to the least severe one. And the chum say chenek because according to them, chenek is the least severe one. Again, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, where the Gemara worked out in detail why, according to Reb Shimon, Hereg is considered less severe, and according to the Chum, Chenek is considered less severe. All right, so the Gemara starts off, man acherim. When we're talking about in the beginning of the Mishnah, the Ritzeach Shinis Arav acherim, just who are these acherim? Ilema acherim ksherim, do we mean innocent Jews? So what do you mean? Pita, first of all, it's obvious. We can't very well say that we should be mechay of them where they're all innocent, where most of them are innocent. The two, even if only one of them is, the two, and furthermore, Baha'u'llah, Rabbi Yehuda, Koinsin, Oisin, the Kippah, how could Rabbi Yehuda say that you put them in the Kippah and they're going to die there, or even according to the Rambam, that just means putting them in jail? How can you take innocent people and do that to them? So the Gemara gives Simon Bashrak, so a Simon for, or Bashkar, it says on the side over here, it's a Simon for the names of the Amoraim, who are going to give four different answers to this question. Rabbi Bohu, Shmuel, Resh Lakish, and Rava. So the first answer, Amar Rabbi Bohu, Amar Shmuel, Hocha Beritzeach Shalem Nigma Dinei, Shinis Arab Beroitz Macherem, Shin Nigma Dinen Askinan. What we're talking about over here is all of them are Roitzchim, but you have one where they hadn't yet delivered the verdict, and he's mixed up with other ones where the verdict was already given. So now one of them has been convicted as a Ritzeach. The other one has also, we have evidence that he killed, but we haven't yet convicted him of it. So now, Rabbanan Savri, the Chum hold, ain't goimin dinishal adam ela b'fanav. We can only judge a person and convict him only b'fanav, only in his presence. And now we can't do that because we don't know. The presence is, we don't recognize him, so it's not considered b'fanav. And therefore the Chum said we have no choice but to let them all go free. The Yad Ramah points out, now why don't we just bring each one of them in front of Beis Din and say basically, if you're the one who was already convicted, then you're already Chayiv Misa, and all we're doing is saying the verdict again. And if you're the one that we weren't Nigma Dinah yet, then we're going to give the verdict now. The Yad Ramah explains basically that in that case, then you can't do that because the Torah wants, you to be mehapech b'schusay, to try to find reasons to exonerate him. And if you don't know that he may already be chayav misa, then you're not going to be able to do that. And therefore, it's not considered a valid verdict. The Reb Shimon Shkop gives a different point on it. He says that it's not just enough that he's standing in front of Beis Din. They have to know that this is the person. They're Mechayev Misa, and in this case, they can't because they don't know which one is. They don't know which one is which.
who said the last one?
The Reb Shimon Shkop in Shara Yosha. So according to the Chachamim, we can't execute them. Although again, the Rambam points out that in this case, we can arrest them and we can give them malchus and we can do all kinds of other things rather than just let them go scot free. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, you can't completely part to them. After all, they are Roitzchim. Therefore, he says, put them in the Kippah. Which again, according to Rashi, means it's the same Kippah that we're going to talk about later on Daf Pei Aleph, that we feed them a starvation diet over there, and then eventually we arrange things so that their stomach ruptures and they do end up all dying. And according to the Rambam, according to the way the Or Chaner understands the Rambam, it means just that we put them all in jail. So according to Rabbi Bohu, that's the case of our Mishnah. A second explanation, Resh Lakish Amar, but Adam de Kula Amalei Pligi de Ptiri. Resh Lakish says, no, if it was people we're talking about over here, then there'd be no machlokas. Everybody would agree that they're potter. We can't put people in a kippah just because, even if they're all roitzchim, because it's loid nigma dinay. After all, we haven't given the verdict yet, and therefore, how can we do anything like that to them? Rather, says Resh Lakish, the Mishnah is talking about a case of shvarim, of oxen. So you have one shur that nigma, that loy nigma dino, there was evidence that it gored, there's edim that it gored, but it didn't, but it wasn't convicted yet. And then you have others that, and then you have others where other ones where the verdict was given kamiftigi, that would be the machlokas. Rabbanan savri the chum. Now by oxen you don't have the concept of vihitzilo or eda, so you don't have this whole point that you have to try to find every way to exonerate them.
That to be befun.
It doesn't wait. So Rabbanan Savri can miss us by them, kach miss us asher. The Chum hold that we have a hekish, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, between the death of the shur and the death of the owner, because the Pasuk says, asher yisokol v'gamba olav yumos. Now, even though it doesn't mean in the Pasuk the owner is not actually being given Misa, nevertheless, that establishes a hekish that there are certain ways in which, if the owner was going to be convicted and be chayav Misa, it has to be in some ways the conviction of the shur has to be in some ways similar to that. One of them we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. For that reason, you need a base din of 23 in order to convict the ox. So he also ve'en gomen dinah shel shur ela b'fanav. Therefore, you can only give the verdict only when the shur is present. Hilkach, and again, you have the same problem. Kol b'turim. Therefore, all of them are potter because we don't know which shur is which. Now, Tosfos does discuss that. Nevertheless, we still there's a relevant Gemara about this in Zvachim, where it talks about you have a case of a bunch of animals of Korbanos where a Shur and Nisko got mixed up with all of them. So then the Mishnah says, "Where they're Yamusu, we have to lock them all up and leave them to die because we don't know which one is the Shur and Nisko." So Tosfos actually brings a different girsa. So Tosfos actually brings a different girsa over here. That over here, rather, instead of the girsa that we have in front of us, that we're talking about one shur that nigma dinoi that was mixed up with other shvarim that nigma dinon. Rather, he brings a different girsa that it was one shur that loy nigma dinoi and was mixed up with other shvarim that didn't do anything. So then, therefore, the Chum are going to say that it's Potter and Rabbi Huda is still going to say Koin Sinois on the Kippah because we don't care so much about the lives of animals. So that's according to the Rivon. Then Tosfos goes on to say that Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with that. And with that Gilsa, and rather ends up explaining that the point is because there we're talking about there's Kodshim involved, and therefore we have to be more Machter. But over here, we're talking about, Tosfos discusses at great length this whole point, all the ins and outs of this, and comparing it with various other cases, throughout Shas. It's a long, 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 complicated Tosfos over here. But in any case, the point is that, according to Rabbeinu Tam, then, therefore, where Tosfos also points out one thing is when it comes to korbanos, you have something called takola. You have the concern that if you leave the animals alive, and one of them, after all, and some of them, after all, are animals of korbanos, people may end up misusing them, and that's a problem of me'ila. So when it comes to korbanos, you have to be more machmir. Here we're talking about it's all cholin animals. Anyway. So therefore the Chum are going to say that's potter. Rabbi Yehuda sava koin sinois in the kippah. Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that you put them in the kippah and let them. And then let them die over there. Part of what Tosfos points out, this long Tosfos over here, part of what Tosfos points out is that on the face of it though, it's tzar ba'al chayim and there's other problems over there. Why don't we just kill them outright? And one thing is because we don't want people to think that the same thing is going to be also with people. So like this, we make this hecker. We put them according to Rabbi Yehuda. We put them in the kippah rather than killing them outright. And that way, we're not going to come to think that we do this kind of thing with people who got mixed up like that instead. Okay. So far we have two answers. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and the Gemara will give the other two answers, what the case of On Mishnah is, where there's people, where there's a mix-up over here, and we're saying that the Chum say Kulam Peturin, and Rabbi Yehuda holds Kinsinois on the Kippah. So far, again, we had Rabbi Bohu saying we are talking about people. All of them were Rotzchim, but some of them were convicted and some of them were not. And according to Rish Lakish, we're not talking about people, we're talking about animals, and therefore we're saying that we need this, that we have this machlokas, what we do with them. And then, as I said, we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with two other possibilities, what the Mishnah is talking about.